2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Use that promo code podcast to get yourself 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get access to our Domination Station, VIP articles and tools, and of course, the DFS Army Slack chat channel where you can chat with me, Keith, Bear, and the rest of the DFS Army. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code podcast for 10% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Sal Walsh. Find me on Twitter, 14A.Walsh. Find Keith Hall, Boomers DFS Daddy. Keith, damn glad to be back on the pod with you today for this mumbo jumbo slate that we got going on here tonight.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm thoroughly excited that I don't have to worry about any more four-game slates or any more screwy situations. Oh, wait, this is the NBA. It's March. The whole thing is screwy. But at least it's 10 games to decipher. So, theoretically, we have the advantage because we know what we're doing. Now I just kind of hope that things play out the way that I hope they're going to play out.
Interesting. All right, so I'm glad. So you said at the beginning here, you talked a little bit about, all right, it's screwy. There's all sorts of things. Would you, now I'm going to, all right, I'm going to throw out what I, my idea on cash games here going forward, right? Basically, I wouldn't even look at them as cash games. I say you look at these contests where you only have to beat half of the people in them and you only can double your investment. I don't look at anything like when people say, oh, is this a cash game play? Is it safe? I don't find too much safe anymore in the NBA at this point.
Nope, I sure don't. So the only cash that I would actually really play, I was saying this with Ben yesterday, and I think he disagreed. I'm not sure. But I would probably say that the only kind of cash that I would play is probably head-to-head.
Yes.
That would be the only type of cash game I would play. And I don't consider, you know, triple ups or quadruple ups or, you know, quints cash games. Right. I consider those more towards a GPP type, you know, game. But, you know, cash games are not my strong suit. I do like to play head-to-heads just because, you know, I feel like a lot of people are just going to take mistakes or make mistakes, not take mistakes. And I feel like with the tools that we have and the projections that I put out that more times than not, I'm going to be able to build a lineup that's going to, you know, win 65 to 70% of my head-to-heads. So I still don't mind doing the head-to-heads, but double ups, 50-50s, I'd probably shy away from extremely this time of year. So.
All right. Yes, indeed. All right. Let's. We got a lot to talk about, so let's just get into the slate on this Tuesday here. Now, you guys don't get to hear the first take of the podcast, but I said, good Wednesday. Yeah, it's Tuesday. I'm trying to get a little further into the week. But let us begin here with the point guard position. Your boy Russ is heading into the ATL tonight on the back end of a back-to-back. Kind of a shitty travel itinerary here for OKC. They had a play last night at home, and then they got to come into ATL, lose an hour there. You know, if anything, maybe that makes this more of a competitive matchup against the Atlanta Hawks. But I think in any event, Russ is a pretty damn good idea this evening.
Yeah, I would say so. Everybody that's worried about, you know, the Thunder blowing out the Hawks, I mean, please, did you guys watch the game last night? Did you see the game last night? And do you realize that we don't blow people out on the road? Like, especially when it's a lower quality team.
Oh, yes, that is exactly what ATL is.
So, yeah, I'm not
lower,
really...
lower than that kind of quality, actually.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about... I'm not really worried about them blowing the Hawks out. I mean, it's only, what, a 6.5-point spread? So, yeah. Vegas thinks along... Or, sorry. No, 6-point. Yeah, so Vegas is thinking along the same lines as me. So, watch them come out and actually...
30-point lead the first quarter. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah,
all right.
But just because they have a 30-point lead in the first quarter doesn't mean they're not going to give it up.
That'd be impressive. That'd be impressive for
any
team.
I mean, come
on.
Look at we held Sacramento to 10 points in the first quarter last night. And then look what happened.
Oh, yeah. I believe 24 at some point in the second quarter. 26, something along those lines. Yeah, it wasn't
pretty.
Oh, no,
we were doubling them up. It was just like they beat us every quarter except for the first quarter. So it was bad. Like I had to turn it off.
To add some more, I guess, convincing to the scenario, OKC only minus 245 on the money line. It's a good number. It means that they'll win. But again, it's just like if you look in comparison, Toronto going into Brooklyn tonight, they're minus 450 on the money line. So I think that's a situation that I believe a blowout will happen. Yes, I'm predicting my own Nets to get blown out tonight. But this Toronto team, you know, the matchups that they have against them, it's just a really bad situation for the Nets tonight. But again, that was just more of a comparison to show you that, hey, you know, this is not exactly going to be a blowout here. If you're not paying up at Russ in the point guard position, what else is appealing here to you?
Okay, we're going to save this guy for a little bit later because all right. I've got something coming where I've got a hot take coming probably on this.
Okay.
But I really, 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 I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I really like Lonzo.
Oh, that's, yeah, no, you could like Lonzo.
But I like Lonzo because he's probably not going to see Gary Harris.
Okay.
I also like, obviously, Kyle Lowry's a pretty good spot. Elford's in a good spot. I mean, it's looking like Chris Dunn's. I don't know what to make of that situation either. I've got to go back and watch these last couple Chicago games and see exactly what's going on there.
More power to you, man. What you want to sit through that? Go for it.
Well, I think it's important because if we look at what's happened over the last couple games, like, you know, where we think that Zach LaVine is the one that's actually taking, like, is the guy that's actually running the point, it looks like it's actually been Chris Dunn. And that's kind of directly hurt Zach LaVine to the point to where now he's dropped under 7K. He's only broke 30 once since missing that Brooklyn game. I wonder if this is either one of two things. Either it's LaVine, they're wanting LaVine to play off the ball more, or and Dunn to kind of take over the initiating role of this offense, or if LaVine is kind of hitting that wall after coming back from the ACL injury.
Of course, it's after I mentioned that, you know, you can't play Chris Dunn while Zach LaVine's in the lineup. Well, ever since, you know, I've been spouting that out the mouth, it worked twice, and then all of a sudden, Dunn started becoming the more productive one. So, if we're playing GPPs tonight, you know, I don't mind splitting up a Dunn LaVine in a couple. It is the Clippers, one of the higher totals on the game. You know, we're going to see some points in that game. So, you obviously do not want to put the two together, but I think that the both of them could be beneficial separately, you know, if you're doing multiple lineups tonight. So that is something that I don't mind. I want to go back to Lonzo Ball real quick because watching TV this morning, I guess they're trying to add a little hype to the situation. But the last time that I guess these two teams played, Jamal Murray did some BS move, you know, behind Lonzo's back when he wasn't, like, he dribbled, like, put the ball, like, behind his back or something like that when he wasn't looking in the final seconds. Apparently the Lakers bench got angry. I don't know. Maybe they try to beef him up, give him some motivation tonight. I like Lonzo from the fact of I like a lot of offense in this game. And, you know, he had such a stinky dud last game. Yeah, it was a little bit of Isaiah Thomas taking over that role, going up against a team that spurned him, you know, this
season. And Julius Randle. And, yep. I mean...
Yeah, indeed, I can see it. So I just like Lonzo from the fact of being the point guard on a team that's probably going to do well offensively tonight. So that's my thing there. And then on the other side of things, we got to check and see what Lowe's is doing with Jamal Murray. But I like him in a little comeback ping pong action in this spot as well.
Gotta love our ping pongs, right?
Indeed, indeed.
So, okay, so let's go ahead and get this little scenario out of the way here, okay?
All right.
The Atlanta point guard situation, or what we should call their wing situation. With Kent Bazemore out now, that's going to open up some minutes. Right now, we've got Tyler Dorsey that looks like he's going to see the bulk of the minutes at the two.
He's starting there.
He's starting there, yes, next to Dennis Schroeder. then you've got Isaiah Taylor that's going to receive some minutes, and Josh Magette, who, as we know, was a early dark sleeper of ours very, very early in the season, and he got absolutely no run whatsoever. Uh-huh. Do you remember that? We called Magette him.
I believe it's Magette.
I think it is, too. Who knows?
No relation to Corey, but... You know, yeah, I've been a Magette guy since the preseason.
Yeah. So, okay, so Dennis Schroeder is $6,400. He's going to receive about 30 minutes. Tyler Dorsey, who's basically 38, is going to receive about 30 minutes. If you are playing Tyler Dorsey in tournaments, I think it's a wrong move. Ooh. And the reason I say that is the dude is literally shooting 25% from 3-point, from beyond the arc. And one of the ways that if you have two guys that need to attack the basket that are on the court at the same time, one's going to be basically not able to do that, right? Well, mm-hmm. Guess what Dennis Schroeder does?
Hogs up a ridiculous amount of usage.
And attacks the basket. And dribbles for about 25 seconds. Or 22 seconds. I can't do it. I can't play. I want to so bad bring Russell Westbrook back in tournaments. I just can't do it, dude. Not with Tyler Dorsey. The dude's shooting 25% from beyond the arc. I mean, you could go with a – let's see here. Let's get to – I mean, you could go with the John Collins, who's probably going to see about 27 to 32 minutes.
Well, I just wanted to give my Dorsey take real here before I give my substitute for the man. But, again, Dorsey, you know, he's not a bad scorer. But, again, you mentioned he's shooting poorly from the field. I don't think Dorsey is a terrible option. I think, you know, 25 is probably the best that he could do tonight, which isn't awful. But, again, at that ownership level that we're talking about, yeah, I see what you're talking about as being a beneficial move of fading the guy Dorsey.
I think he's absolutely 100% fine for cash games.
So here is where the issue lies, right? So my replacement for this situation was going to be Schroeder. So he's $6,400 there on FanDuel. Again, with Bazemore out of the lineup, I mean, look, we already know Schroeder has a huge usage rate, but without Bazemore, I'll take a look here in a second, but I'm sure, you know, his usage goes up even more. You know, so I'm definitely willing to go to Schroeder in this one, especially with Bazemore out. That's the appealing part.
And I can see that, but I'm not because of the fact that the spacing completely changes. Like, and... – Okay, so if you're looking at kind of how they're going to run things tonight for the Hawks, you pretty much got to take Taurean Prince out of the equation because he's going to be guarded by, like, I don't think the way to attack it, and it's, again, it's going to depend, like it did last night, on whether or not Steven Adams plays. I personally think that after him leaving the last two games, I don't think he plays tonight.
Yeah, you give him the night off against the Hawks. Well, anybody got time for the Hawks?
Yeah, you say that now. Dude, I'm completely scared. Later on this week. I'm completely scared. Like, I'm more scared against teams like the Kings, the Hawks, than I am against teams like Houston, San Antonio, Golden State. Like, I've watched this all season. So, let's see here. Isaiah Taylor's got an ankle. Tyler Kavanaugh is probably going to be playing tonight. He's got an ankle. I mean, he's an option, I guess. I'll have to look into percentages and how he does it. But, like, I think it changes the complete spacing. And if Steven Adams is out, I don't think that the place to attack Oklahoma City tonight is with one guy anyways. Like, I think, like, Schroeder could hit a couple threes and, you know, maybe Dorsey could hit a couple threes and, you know, Kavanaugh. Like, I think it could be a combined effort to where, like, the shooting, the three-point percentage allowed by the Thunder ends up being on point to where it has been. But I don't think one guy absolutely just goes off like Garrett Temple last night or, you know, like Damian Lillard has, you know, stuff like that. I don't think that's what's going to happen tonight.
By the way, I mentioned I'd pull up the numbers. So with all of Atlanta's inactives off the floor, Schroeder, 39.2% usage rate. Taurean Prince, second there at 27.8%. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, I want no part of that matchup with Paul George. Yeah, I mean, I guess for me it would be Schroeder. But, again, if a lot of people are going to that Dorsey situation, what a brilliant maneuver it would be to go to Westbrook here and just completely annihilate that, I get like the 25 points that Dorsey can get you with like a 60 or something like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I think he's a great cash game play. He's going to be highly owned. I don't approve of this strategy, but if you want to do it, you can. You can use it as a block. I just don't like it because everybody's like, oh, he's starting at the two guard. We're going to attack this because he can shoot threes and he's going to shoot the threes. The problem is he's probably not going to make them. Like, Corey Brewer is not a bad defender. And if you give me, I hate to say this, but if you give me Corey Brewer or Tyler Dorsey, I'm going to take Corey Brewer over Tyler Dorsey just because I don't believe in Tyler Dorsey yet.
Wow.
And it's strong. Just because we have not seen enough of him for me to make a, he's got to prove me wrong. And that's not chalk I'm willing to eat in tournaments tonight.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Here's an interesting, I guess, low cost option that I think would be beneficial. So I was talking about my Nets probably getting their head kicked in tonight. So I think that this could be a pretty nice Van Vliet night here for the Raptors. They're going to have everybody back. DeLon Wright is coming back to the lineup. I don't really give a shit. This is typically when Van Vliezy does his best work, like in excellent extra minute situations here and blowouts. Now, Van Vliet has been playing down the stretch of games recently. So, you know, along on the floor with like Lowry, DeRozan at the same time. But again, in this situation, going up against the Nets, I don't see my boys being competitive here at all. Here's something interesting too. So, this will be the Nets' third game in the scenario that I'm talking about, but their last three games, the Warriors, the Sixers, and now the Raptors tonight, not a good trio of games. So a team that has been really competitive lately, I feel like they're getting pretty tired right now. Again, it's the end of the season. They've been playing their hearts out all year. I think that this is a huge letdown spot for the Nets. And again, look, we've talked about this Toronto second unit all year. Well, not all year. All year, meaning 2018. You know, these guys have been fantastic. So, again, I think Van Vliet is going to lead the charge here in garbage time and get some pretty nice production tonight against a Nets team that I think will not be competitive at all this evening.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually don't mind, Kyle Lowry either, because you got to think, like, he's kind of underpriced. So
what's he at today?
He's at 8K. I think if you gave me the choice, like Kyle Lowry, Lonzo Ball, or Elfrid Payton, it's going to go Lonzo, Payton, Lowry. But I think because everybody's going to be like, oh, the blowout, oh, and because Lonzo and Payton are on the West Coast and there are later games and all this other stuff, I think Lowry's going to be a little bit lower owned. And, like, I mean, I would give it at least a 35 to 40% shot that he can at least hang with them, if not outscore them. And yeah, it's not a huge, huge price discrepancy. I mean, he's the most expensive of the three, but they're all three of them are within $200.
Interesting. All right. Anybody else in particular looking at here at the point guard position?
Yeah. Austin Rivers has my attention.
Ooh.
Probably one of the best matchups on the slate as far as at the at the position. The problem I'm worried about is that wing situation for the Clippers is a little bit more confusing now with Juwan Evans back. They've got Milos Teodosic. I'm wondering if Rivers is going to slide over and play more of the two guard now and flip with Lou Williams, and they're going to let Milos and Juwan kind of run the point. If that's the case, then I might have more interest in Milos than I do Austin Rivers. But, I mean, Austin Rivers, I can't deny the fact that he's going to play 35 minutes for $6,400. Like, he's got my attention. I don't know if I'm going to go there yet, but he's at least got my attention.
All right. Pretty interesting. By the way, I screwed up something with the Nets. Remember I said the last three games were against those teams? The Hornets were after the Warriors, but no big deal.
Nobody remembers the Hornets.
Yeah, nobody cares. And how do you feel about Thomas Satoransky? Any interest here against the Timberwolves?
How's he been shooting the ball?
I couldn't tell you. But, again, this is a guy that gets his production in more than a few ways, mainly with the assists and rebounds and whatnot. I'll throw a couple steals in there as well. But I don't know. I look at Satoransky as more of a Swiss Army knife where he could do a lot of different things.
I don't mind it under 6K. I don't think the 40-point tournament upside is quite there on a 10-game slate. Or 11 game slate, I'm sorry. But I mean, I could definitely see using him, like pairing him up with a Russell Westbrook in cash games. Because we all know that, guys like Elfrid Payton, Ricky Rubio, these guys are kind of volatile, so they're not as consistent as we like. And I mean, Satoransky is kind of like that in that same mold, but when you're talking about going up against Minnesota, who's right now just bleeding points to the point guard position, kind of don't have to really worry about it that much. So
nah. Yeah, Satoransky's last game, didn't go so hot. Remember the Wizards got their head kicked in again in Miami on Saturday night. And then prior to that, 2 30-point performances in a row. Satoransky is more, in my opinion, I would probably use him in that cash game scenario as well. But again, I think the matchup lends itself to, some additional fantasy points at a very low ownership percentage tonight. So
yeah, I can see that.
That was my interest. All right. I got no more point guards. You good?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple others that I like, but,
save it for the people, for the important people. Not that you're not important if you're not a DFS Army member, but you're more important if you are.
Yeah, I'll save it for my VIP guys.
Hey, yeah, very important. That's what the acronym is. All right, let's look at shooting guards here tonight. Got some pretty decent options. Victor Oladipo against the Sixers, Drew Holiday against the Hornets, Bradley Beal against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and, well, hell, Lou Williams against the Chicago Bulls, Devin Booker against the Cleveland Cavs. At the top there, I mean, what's most appealing to you?
Honestly, probably Drew Holiday.
Okay.
And Devin Booker. Like I said, I'm a little concerned about that Clippers wing situation. I don't know how that's going to work out. I need to look into that a little bit more. The Pistons have actually been a lot better on defense, with Avery Bradley gone, which is kind of funny. Actually, yeah. When you think about it.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Knee
slapping, funny.
You know, Bradley Beal's been kind of a disappointment lately. So I could see him probably having a bounce back game against Andrew Wiggins. I mean, he put up that 49 against Indiana a couple nights ago or earlier in the month. But other than that, it's for him running the offense, it's been kind of inconsistent and not as impressive as we thought that maybe it could have been. Devin Booker against Cleveland is at 8,200 is very, 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 very appealing.
Dreamy.
But Drew Holiday against Charlotte with the pairing of Anthony Davis, it seems like that is a very, very good little tournament correlation play that I might have a lot more interest in than other people around the industry.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. You know, Batum historically known as a good defender, but, you know, hell, in looking at the ADVP matchups, it's a favorable one. So,
with Jeremy Lamb playing more, they've been putting Lamb at the two and putting Batum at the three to guard. He's guarding usually their more athletic type of wing guys that, you know, kind of move around and can handle the ball and go down to the post. Like, I'll just give you an example. So for tonight, I think Batum would end up being on Drew Holiday most of the time. But with the uses that Drew has with Boogie off the court, and the pairing that he creates with Anthony Davis, I don't have any problem attacking it because I don't feel like Batum is that type of guy that can totally, like, shut Drew down. Plus, the Hornets do switch a lot. So, I see them kind of making sure that they get a very good positive matchup when AD's not initiating the offense.
All right. How about from the Lakers-Nuggets game? KCP, Gary Harris in that game. Any particular interest in either one there?
I think I might have more interest in Will Barton because he's probably going to play some of the backup point, so he probably will get a little bit more Isaiah Thomas. Where I think Gary Harris and KCP kind of cancel each other out. I mean, they can both go for like 25-30.
I mean, both have a positive ADVP against one another.
I know, but they're both considered good defenders. And this is something else you got to think about, like, right now. Like, KCP, he's played, like, they're running him into the ground. They're playing him 38 minutes a game, and he's made no mistake about it. He's playing for his next destination. He's playing for his next contract. It was a one-year deal, and they basically said, all right, go out there and get him, big boy. So, I'm not excited about that little ping pong matchup. I'm not excited about that. I'd much rather think I would have Will Barton than Gary Harris or KCP. There's somebody else I love even more in this game.
All right. Well, I just want to say, cause I really
not at this position.
I like that idea of going with KCP or Harris. Number one, you get a discount compared to some of the bigger guys out there. Two, you know you're getting 30-plus minutes in that situation. Going to see a lot of points in this game. With how fast the Lakers run, I'm not like terribly worried about a matchup. I think there's going to be a lot of transition buckets and whatnot. So, yeah, I don't mind those two guys. I know, you know, you presented a great case as well. But, again, I think there's going to be plenty of points for everyone to go around in this game. That's where we're at. Let's see. How about this? This could get sneaky. So we'll stay there on the West Coast, but with the Cleveland Phoenix game, I mean, if he's going against Devin Booker, could J.R. Smith potentially have a breakout game?
No. No. I just refused. Like, I had this conversation the other day with one of the guys that we talk to a lot, and he's like, I'll take J.R. Smith every day. And I was like, you're absolutely completely nuts. And the guy knows NBA very, very well. He's like, I'll take J.R. Smith. I was like, you're crazy. And then he sold me on Corey Brewer. So, I mean, sure. It could happen. I give it like a 5% shot. He's looked so bad this year. He's had little stretches here and there, but now you've got George Hill. You've got Jordan Clarkson in there. We gotta wait and see. Who's gonna take effect or who's gonna? Sorry, we have to wait and see how the situation with Rodney Hood's going to actually play out, if he's going to miss or not. But, like, I personally think Jordan Clarkson's way too cheap in this matchup.
Well, to say, I mean, J.R. Smith is $3,700.
Jordan Clarkson has higher upside than J.R. Smith, though.
Maybe.
Oh,
I mean,
oh, my God.
I don't know. You see Clarkson's shooting performance last game? My goodness.
Yeah, that was nerves wanting to prove the Lakers wrong for shipping him out of town and him being young and not knowing how to handle it?
Looking for motivation, not nerves that day.
You don't think that he comes out and, well, I mean, motivation was to get out of L.A., not to go back and show him up. Anyways, you don't think that they calm him down and get him into the flow of the game early? Like, please. Like, they're not going anywhere without George Hill and Jordan Clarkson. J.R. Smith with Rodney Hood in actually active is a fourth guy in the option. Like, it just – no.
What blows my – now, I didn't really catch too much of the fourth quarter of that last – the Cleveland Lakers game.
Oh, it was miraculous.
But – you've got Clarkson that played 16 minutes last game. You got J.R. Smith that only played, 24, whatever it was last game.
They pulled their starters.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, Clarkson's price is too cheap, but so is J.R.'s, man. And again, if he's playing 34 minutes with Hood out, with Korver questionable, with Jetty Osman already ruled out, I mean, they got a lot of situations that they could use some body minutes here. So again, the only reason he's under 4K against Devin Booker, and you know the guy's gonna shoot. We're just gonna have our rosary beads out praying that they go in. All right, what else is here at the shooting guard position?
Talk to me about Caris LeVert, dude.
Well, as I mentioned last time, he has been earning these minutes. He's actually come out here over the last, 3-4 games. Last game, whatever, they're getting their head kicked in by Philly. But prior to that, the three games, LeVert just really came out looking aggressive with the ball. And it comes at a time, too, when I basically wasn't really excited about too many Nets on this roster. I mean, again, if you have a great matchup, let's exploit it. But, again, a lot of these guys are healthy. I mean, the only guy questionable tonight is Jared Allen. So, again, it's not – again, this is March NBA where a guy like LeVert just spring up and get around 30 minutes in three straight games if he's playing well enough. I think you're seeing a lot of teams nowadays kind of just riding with that hot hand off the bench. If they get going, they're going to keep going with them. So,
that situation where LeVert, you know, was at held down to 20 minutes and then, you know, initially or now coming back around to like 30 minutes around there. It's just not a situation that I trust in with the Nets. Basically, what's going on with this team right now is they have like their team A and their team B. Team A comes out, starts the game. Team B comes in. So they basically run that rotation twice. And then I said this a couple of weeks ago. It's like the two teams kind of compete and see, all right, well, now you're competing for stretch minutes. And you never really know who's getting those stretch minutes for the Nets. It's basically who performs well. So last game, it was D'Angelo Russell that had the hot hand. And they let him go a couple more minutes than LeVert. So it's a situation that GPP only for sure, but probably not one that I'm going to against the Toronto Raptors tonight. So it's not a good situation for this team. By the way, I pulled the numbers up. Raptors 10-0 against the Nets in their last 10 meetings. They've covered 7 of those, and most of those have been near double-digit spreads.
I could see that.
Yeah.
So
not too high on Caris LeVert, all in all.
No. You kind of sold me on that one. And
the price came up to $5,300 on him.
Yeah, I know, but he's got to have some sort of like good run if he's gonna jump up that much. So.
No, I got you. I mean, look, the guy's been playing well lately, but with this game not looking great for Brooklyn, I really don't know what the situation is gonna be.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Was that the last shooting guard?
Yeah, that I'm gonna give out.
Ooh, Keith being very, very sneaky here today. Very tempting to the people. All
right. No, I'm here? Writing notes today. I gotta save some for. I gotta save some nuggets for the afternoon.
I dig. All right. Small forwards. What are we doing here?
I might have locked Paul George the day a day early.
Okay.
I was talking to you about this. I ran 150 last night and. I was running 150 last night and I ended up locking him. I might have done it a day too early. His price went up, but now he gets Terry and Prince and the Atlanta Hawks. Honestly, you could probably do it again. I understand LeBron and going up against Phoenix, and he's the highest projected scorer right now, but like. I mean, if you go get Russ and you go get Paul George and you go get, like, Nikola Jokic, I mean, you could legit fade. It's not out of the question to fade LeBron and AD or Russ and AD or Russ and LeBron, you know, whatever. They're all in good matchups. It's just what do you want to do? Because they're the only three over 10K. So
here's my in terms of looking at the studs tonight, right? So Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James. Who on that list is the one with where they're usually at where we're like, okay, I could live with that?
I say you need 50, 55.
All right, but like on a normal basis, would you say that you find it easier to miss out on Russ, AD, or LeBron?
Easier? Like, as in...
Like you're more okay with missing out on... Or you're more okay with not having Russ, AD, or LeBron?
I'm more okay with not having LeBron. Okay. Just because I know, like, he can sit there and he likes to get everybody else involved. So I know, like, he can rack up the assists, but he can also like disappear. So, and if for some chance Cleveland is getting everybody else in rhythm and everything, and LeBron doesn't need to go into savior mode, then I don't have to worry about it. I'm more scared about missing out on AD just because of the matchup with the Charlotte Hornets. And, like, if I was playing two out of the three, it would be Russ and AD and just skip LeBron.
Yep. I'm on that same mindset as well.
Also, looking at this, you know, I've noticed recently, well, not even recently, but going all the way back to since the time LeBron's come back to Cleveland, but anytime these guys are the magic number is minus 160 on the money line, anything minus 160 or lower, usually a bad sign for the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're minus 320 against the Suns. It's not a huge number, but for this Cleveland team that has all these different injuries and whatnot, like I see why Cleveland hasn't been a major favorite here over these last couple of games. It's mainly because they're missing some pretty key bodies, and now they got to put lesser players in on their second unit. So again, the fact that they're minus 320 tonight, I think that bodes well. I think that, you know, says more that the Cavs are probably going to have this game in control. So let's talk about roster construction here real quick. If you don't go with LeBron, you're probably thinking that Cleveland has this game in hand and, you know, he doesn't need to do much. In that same lineup, wouldn't it be smart not to have Devin Booker as well?
No, I don't think so. And the reason is because, like, I think you can go get the ancillary pieces on the Cavaliers to kind of offset and ping pong that with, i.e. Larry okay. Nance, or Jordan Clarkson, a George Hill,
J.R. Smith.
No, I'm not playing J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith.
Like, why would I play J.R. Smith?
Because he's going up against Booker.
Okay.
And he's $3,700, and he could potentially be a better pivot than Tyler Dorsey.
Well, they're two different positions.
Sure, why not?
I can see it on DraftKings. You know, you've got a 3-point bonus and everything, but I just I can't do it on FanDuel.
Uh-huh.
Like, the dude, I've never seen
the issues with the guy. I know. It's J.R. Smith. But it's also going to
I'd rather play Kyle Korver.
Is he alive today?
Yeah, he's alive.
Is he dead to the fantasy world? He's alive? No. No injury designation on him. He is alive. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Also, at the small forward position today, how about TJ Warren?
I don't mind that. He should be well rested.
Yeah, that's true.
The thing that does scare me is it's his back.
Doctor says I need a bacchiotomy.
Not that we need this guy out, but if Josh Jackson is out, then I like TJ Warren a little bit more. We need to talk about that. If Josh Jackson is out, well, no, we're not going to talk about that because
he's in. I don't even have an injury designation on him.
Josh Jackson?
Yeah.
He's got a banged up knee, dude. He left the Oklahoma City game.
Well, what I was looking at didn't have him as questionable or out, so participated in practice on Monday, been upgraded to probable for Tuesday's matchup. He's basically got the same status as TJ Warren, just to a different part of the body. So that's there. An interesting guy. Now, here, all right, let's talk about matchups here for a second with this the Pacers-Sixers game, because I've got interest in Robert Covington. But if the matchup doesn't go the way I think it will, then I've got interest in a guy that we left out at the shooting guard position. So the matchup tonight, Pacers-Sixers, Covington and Oladipo together, or Redick going to be chasing Oladipo around, you think, and vice versa?
I think Redick's going to be chasing Oladipo around. Okay. But I think that Oladipo might end up being on Spencer Dinwiddie, depending on who's on the court.
Wrong team.
TJ McConnell.
Gotcha. McConnell's second unit.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm saying.
I don't. Well, we got to go back to the beginning because I have no idea what you're saying.
Okay, so you asked me. Is Oladipo? I don't think that Oladipo is going to be worried about running around with JJ Redick. Okay,
he's a master of getting through the picks.
I honestly think that you're going to see. I'll have to go back and watch, but I honestly think that we're going to see Victor Oladipo on Ben Simmons as much as possible.
Really? Okay. Yes. So then I got a lot more interest now at Redick and Covington, if you believe that's how it's going to go.
Oh, I have a lot of interest in Covington.
Okay.
Especially if Saric is out.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that, too, that a couple of these Sixers would probably get a nice little boost here, and this applies directly to Redick and Robert Covington here if Saric is going to be out. He's questionable with some gastroenteritis, basically, you know, probably went to – he probably hit up Taco Monday yesterday, you know, so.
He probably hit up Taco Tuesday this morning.
Yeah, that's right. Probably going with the breakfast Taco Tuesday. They do that, man. They get some nice breakfast burritos going out there. So, okay. So, I'm glad we had that discussion. If it's going to be Oladipo Simmons, then Redick Covington. Good. Boom. In there. Swimwear.
Yeah. So, now I have to go back and watch this game or these games from earlier in the season. It could change. But... right now, that's the way that I'm thinking. Just by knowing how these two teams run, I don't think that they waste Oladipo defense on J.J. Redick.
Gotcha. In the same game, have you seen what Bogey Bogdanovich has done recently?
Offensively, yes.
Very interesting.
Okay, so that's a matchup that I want to talk about. When Lance Stephenson's on the floor with Oladipo, then I can see him on J.J. Because then I can see J.J. on Ben Simmons, barring a switch. But, okay. Like, just to start out, because you can't leave Bogdanovich on Ben Simmons or Covington. Like, I want whoever Bogdanovich is going to cover the most, and I want the less of whoever Depot is going to cover the most. So.
All right. Fair enough. We've got a homecoming today. I don't know how we didn't lead off this segment with this, probably because I don't like the guy, but Jonathan Simmons heading back to San Antonio. All that's fine and dandy. However, the Magic today, not projected to do so hot. And this is even with the Spurs, playing on the back end of a back-to-back. They looked god-awful in Houston last night. But Orlando actually has the second lowest implied team total on the board at 97. They and the Pistons are the only teams under 100 today. Do you think Simmons still does well here in this scenario, or has Vegas told us the story before we know the ending?
You mean have they told us the answer before we see the story?
I think we're both right, but sure.
That's the way it was usually told to me. So,
all right.
Yeah, I think they're kind of trying to kind of lead us in the direction that they're wanting to go. So, I just think that it's one of those situations where it's not going to be black and white. Embiid evidently didn't go through shoot-around this morning, so if Saric and Embiid are out, then other than Rashawn Holmes and maybe Ersan Ilyasova, I might just be out.
Rashawn Holmes? It just came out, word right now, 3.8 minutes ago. Ersan Ilyasova will start Tuesday if Dario Saric is unable to go. So, a conditional tag there on Mr. Ersan Ilyasova. Marcus Aldridge will play tonight. That's interesting. All right, here's another interesting situation. Now, I have been quite adamant in being very much against the Knicks right now because we have no friggin' clue what's going on with this team. However, Enes Kanter, Lance Thomas, both listed as questionable for tonight's game. Could it be a Michael Beasley night? The bee's knees.
No, because I don't think he gets the minutes.
I want to see.
Like, he's on a one-year deal. Like, they're not giving they're not giving guys on 1 year deals any sort of significant playing time. That is one kind of trend that I've noticed. It's just like, I mean, Beasley's minutes have been cut way back. Let's see here. Beasley, gosh dang it, stupid mouse.
Well, yeah, same, like the last four games, 29 minutes, 22, 25, 25. I mean, that's typically where he's been since post All-Star break. But again, like you saw the last game, right? So I believe it was the same situation where I don't even remember because the game wasn't on the slate, but I believe Cantor and Thomas were out, and that was the same situation as it is on Sunday. That was the same situation that it could be tonight. So
Cantor, is this game where nobody over in this game is priced over 6,900?
Really?
That's unfortunate. I mean, maybe. It actually has one of the higher totals on the night, too. But, again, I guess my appeal here was, again, if Cantor and Lance Thomas are going to be out, you know, it's a nice spot for Beasley. Again, we know that Dallas sucks at rebounding, so, you know, Beasley could get over 10 rebounds. Of course, we know the guy's going to score. So that's a nice workload for a guy that's priced at $4,900 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, I didn't get a look at his price, but I will certainly have these things, you know, identified in my notes. Now, again, remember, not writing an article today, but the A.Walsh channel wanted some sort of written material today, so there will be podcast notes.
There you go.
There you go. All right, any other small forwards?
I think please don't chase Taryn Prince. Joe Ingles is actually kind of interesting, although he's not cheap anymore. Probably don't mind Kelly Oubre in a tournament value situation. There's a couple other ones that I like. So one to rival your – a couple to rival your Michael Beasley. And also understand that if you are a DFS Army member – Reggie Bullock was actually in a car accident on Sunday night.
Really?
So he is listed as doubtful. Probably will not play. Stanley Johnson is back. Looks like Dwight Bikes is ruled out. That just came across. But they're kind of banged up in Detroit, so I don't mind kind of attacking the three guard with a little bit of Stanley Johnson, or the three guard. It's like I'm going to get a freaking haircut. The three with a little bit of Stanley Johnson, because I think he'll slide over and play some of the two as well, so he won't have that horrific ADVP matchup.
Sweet. Just one guy. Again, it's ridiculous not to mention him, but Nemanja Bjelica. The guy's going to play nearly 40 minutes for the Timberwolves because Tom Thibodeau doesn't give a shit about the well-being of his players. So Bjelica, 5'8 on FanDuel. I believe he's pretty similar on DraftKings. So, I've been using this guy pretty much every slate, and it's worked out pretty well. Except for Sunday when I went with him over Taurean Prince, but he can go F himself.
There you go.
Wonderful. Power forwards, Anthony Davis at the top. I will certainly have some. You?
Probably.
Okay.
Got to see what happens with LMA. He sat out last night. Obviously, we know everything that happened last night. I'm thinking he's going to play tonight. It is Orlando. He is under 9K. I don't mind going there. If all these guys are out for the Sixers, I'm off of Ben Simmons, just because he's not a guy that's going to take over a game without help on the floor spacing, and I don't think that Ersan Ilyasova, Rashawn Holmes give that sort of spacing to him. I might be off of the Sixers completely if all these guys end up missing. Supposedly, like I said, Embiid didn't go through shoot-around. I do have
A new bike?
No. I do have interest in ping-ponging the power forward position, though, tonight.
Ooh, do tell.
Paul Millsap and Kyle Kuzma.
Okay. By the way, on DraftKings, you could play Kuzma at his more natural three role. I like that, and he's usually a lot cheaper over there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm a fan of the DKers, man. I just don't have time. I got in and I started checking out these prices, and it's been fantastic.
Yeah, I just don't have time to do both.
Well, aren't you Mr. Popular?
No, I'm just busy.
Mr. Busy Man. All right, I could see that one there. I really like Larry Nance Jr. a lot tonight. The guy just – I mean, he just posts numbers. And he's got a fantastic situation there with Tristan Thompson out of the way. Yeah. And now I'm watching a video of Steph Curry dancing – Steve Kerr dancing at Steph Curry's 30th birthday party. It's quite the sight. It's quite the sight.
That's got to be horrifically disgusting to watch.
Yeah, it's basically like he's leaning back and doing a little air humping with his arms behind his back. It's pretty weird. All right, back to the matter at hand here. Nance, how high are you on Nance?
Pretty high. I think his ceiling, his profit potential is obviously not there, but his ceiling in this matchup is, I would say, about 40, 45.
Through the roof.
It's not through the roof for $7,800, though. Do we really think that he has 55-point upside?
I do in this matchup. Well, here's the thing, right? You don't know that Larry Nance has 55-point upside because
we've never been able to see it.
You've never been able to see it. But here's what's interesting. I was looking at these numbers the other day. Do you know that Phoenix, over the last month, has allowed 61.3 FanDuel points per game?
To?
The center position. Yes, I forgot that.
Okay. Yeah, you forgot that part. I'm like, they've only allowed – dang, I know I'm missing something.
But
yeah, I don't mind it.
61.3 FanDuel points per game to the center position.
Yep.
Now, Nance got in a little bit of foul trouble that last game.
He did, because two early fouls kind of brought his numbers down. Yeah, he was being attacked by Julius Randle and Brook Lopez. So,
yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, if you see that misnomer there, that's why. But you look at Nance's numbers since entering the starting lineup, my goodness. And if you think Cleveland's going to do well tonight and they're going to put it on the Suns, oh, yeah. I'm going to have some Nance, my friends. Oh, yeah.
Tyson Chandler has it wrote in his contract that he's not allowed to be sat for like the remaining of the year. Like he has to be, unless he's injured, he has to be active and be willing to play like a certain amount. Because there's no reason like for the Suns to roll out Tyson Chandler right now.
Yeah.
Like you've got Dragan Bender who's getting minutes. Yeah, you got Marquise Chris, but you got Alex Len. Who is it? Derek or not Derek Williams?
Alan Williams nearing a return.
Is on his way back. I think he just went on assignment in the G League.
Great name.
I don't know. It's just something I was worried. I was not worried about. It was just something I was thinking of, and I'm like, he's got to have somebody, some dirt on somebody.
Yeah. Nah. It's definitely interesting. But yeah, I'm big on the Nance man this evening. All right, also looking at power forwards here. How about Tobias against the Bulls tonight? Julius Randle against the Nuggets.
I'm not doing Julius Randle after the blow up game and a price increase at 8,100. I think he's going to be chased too much, and I'd much rather go play Kyle Kuzma if Brandon Ingram's out.
Okay.
Now, if Ingram's in, it changes the whole situation.
Is he due back tonight?
I thought he was questionable.
Let's see here.
Or maybe he's getting reevaluated today.
He is. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I got Ingram is out.
Yeah,
already.
He's out still. Okay, so yeah, oh. I'm not chasing the Julius Randle ceiling game.
Okay. Yeah, again with Ingram out, I love going back to Kuzma in this spot. I mean, you know, it seems like his production's gotten swallowed up by a couple of guys here of late, but again, still a pretty nice spot against the Nuggets. If he's gonna be matched up with like a combination of Wilson Chandler, Will Barton, something like that, then I'm in.
Kuzma?
Yeah. If he's playing that three.
Oh, yeah, he's playing the 3-4 spot. I think he's gonna be on Millsap a little bit more.
That's what I thought Randle would be there for. Because remember, Brolo,
I mean, another guy not taking a back seat to the garbage time. He is on fire right now.
That's the easiest. It's the second easiest fade of the night.
Brooklyn Nets.
Great. Anyways, also, if Steven Adams is out, you got to pay attention to the power forwards there for the Thunder. Melo, Jeremy Grant, and Patrick Patterson. So.
Yeah, Melo's pretty interesting. Big night. Well, big night compared to others last night. But nice matchup here against Atlanta. You think people will chase that, or what's your opinion there?
I think they will.
And you don't want to, or you do?
I'm indifferent. I'm leaning
not necessarily towards... chase, right? Like, I always say that some of these things aren't necessary. Like, for instance, Klay Thompson on Sunday, right? Like, I said, we're not chasing Klay because Curry's out. We're chasing it because shooting guards against Minnesota do pretty well. I mean, the front court guys do very well against Atlanta.
Yeah, and he's 5,700. We know that he's got 35-point upside. I don't know if the build's going to lead me there. Okay. I mean, you can't deny the minutes for the price. That's for sure. And he definitely, if he gets hot, he definitely can, you know, test his ceiling. But it's a little difficult to pay for him when I've got some other guys that are cheaper or right around that I think could actually outperform him.
All right, one other guy I want to bring up the power forward position. Bobby Portis. Now, Robin Lopez will not play tonight. They already made this official.
I got that Robin Lopez was starting with David Nwaba. Yeah, I've got Robin Lopez, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and David Nwaba as the starters listed for the Bulls.
Scumbags. All right. I had a note that he was out. Because when I do these injury designations, I do them the night before.
Yep.
And I had him out. Okay. So, all right. Fair enough. I'm sorry. It was doubtful. He was doubtful, but okay. And then today they noticed. All right. So I'm not that terrible of a person. How about that?
No, you're just a halfway terrible person.
Exactly. See? So. Can't be a full one. All right. Any other power forwards here?
Yeah, I think Marquise Chris is interesting for tournaments, so. He's 4,600. If he gets rolling and cooking, then, you know, they could leave him out there.
Okay.
They could leave him out there to kind of get some experience. I'm not excited about it, but he's definitely on the radar depending on what happens. I would like him better if Tyson Chandler was out.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Center position. What are we doing here?
Pay attention to Joel Embiid. Hope to God that they make a decision early in the day. I know it's one of the earlier games, but I hope that it doesn't come up to 10 minutes before lock. I hope they either announce it or they don't announce it. Because that's going to determine on what I do with everything else. Because I just think, like, against Indy, 9,800 is just too cheap. I mean, I don't like a lot of lower-end centers today. I don't mind going back to Powell against Orlando. Nikola Jokic is in a good spot, I feel. Karl-Anthony Towns, Nikola Vucevic, Dwight Howard, DeAndre Jordan. I mean, I think they're all in good spots. I think I'm going to be paying up in a lot of my lineups at the center position today because I don't want to worry about going and getting guys like Marcin Gortat, Emeka Okafor, Nerlens Noel, and hoping that they outperform their salary-based expectations in 20, 22 minutes. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to end up going and grabbing high-minutes guys as much as possible tonight. Like I said, I don't mind going back to Powell, just because of everything that happened last night,
but
most of my lineups are going to be guys that are higher end, probably at the center position tonight.
All right.
We are looking there at the top. Yeah, I really like this matchup with Karl Anthony Towns. Again, I don't mind attacking Washington, like, ever. So, I dig that. You mentioned that you didn't like Brook Lopez. Again, that price is still the same for him on DraftKings at 5,800. That's where he was the other day. Now, he is 6,700 on... All right, hold on. 5,800 on DraftKings, 6.7 on FanDuel. That seems like a lot. But again, the guy is producing. Now, I know the matchup is tough against Jokic. I think both of these idiots could actually get each other in foul trouble. But I don't know, man. I like both sides of this.
I like the Jokic side. I don't like the Brolo side. One, because I still don't trust Luke Walton. Now, granted, the Lakers have nothing to gain from losing, and I think they're enjoying this relic of playing spoiler, going out and playing as much as possible and just going balls to the wall. I think they're enjoying it, and they're playing well. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know if I want to chase a guy that is been on this much of a tear. Like, I haven't jumped on yet, so I think the best way for me to do it is to just stay away.
Stay the hell away. We'll continue to reap the benefits over here.
I don't think you – it's not an ownership play, because I don't think you have to worry about ownership. I think it's better described as a – I don't want to – jump on a guy where his price is at, you know, the highest it's been all season.
Here now, again, on DraftKings, I mean, 5'8 is nothing, because, you know, Brolo's been consistently putting up 30 plus in a lot of these last few games. He's put up 40 plus in the last two, one of those being against the Denver Nuggets a couple days ago when they last played. But
that's the other thing. How many times have we talked about this season? Whatever happened in that previous game, just go ahead and flip it. And how many times has it worked? Like, there's no statistical backing for it other than teams adjust. Mm-hmm. But how many times has it worked? It's worked a lot for us.
Yeah, that makes sense. Even in, you know, even without talking about the numbers, it makes sense. Like, a coach probably isn't going to let a guy
days ago.
And Brolo dominated against Denver. Like, there's no other way around it.
Wasn't Jokic in foul trouble that game?
I know I had Jokic that night, but it was Friday, I think, so I don't really remember what was going on. Yeah, so that you got that there. But again, to finish my point, what I was saying is that, you know, again, if you're going to dominate, a coach probably isn't going to let you do it twice in like 4 days. So I agree with you there on FanDuel where that price.
No foul trouble. He just didn't do well.
But again, I think at that price on FanDuel, okay, it's more worth a fade over there. But, you know, on DraftKings at 5,800, that's insane. He's definitely going to hit value.
Yeah.
So you've got that there. Now, here's what's interesting, too. So the Lakers are 6.5 games out of that eighth playoff spot. Surprising, right? Because they've been on a nice run here. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. So the Denver Nuggets there, they are one of four teams tied for the last eighth playoff spot. They are 6.5 games ahead of the Lakers there for
three
that
teams.
Last one. You got the Clippers, got the Jazz,
Clippers
you got the Nuggets,
are, Clippers
and the Spurs.
Are half a game ahead in the seventh seed because they have one less loss.
All right, whatever. This is probably the Lakers, like, if they lose this one, this is probably their last important game in terms of, like, going for a miracle at that last playoff spot. So, again, like, you know, Walton's been playing these guys. Like, he hasn't really been dicking around with anybody's minutes. Everybody's been doing what they need to do. And I think they finally found that core that for the rest of the season that they can go forward with. They want to go for this miracle.
Yeah, they got nothing to lose. It's awesome.
Again, I don't see anybody's minutes getting off tonight in this situation.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I don't think I think that, like, for me, I'm not gonna go chase a guy like a Brolo on FanDuel when he's like performing at his peak.
Gotcha.
Because you're right, the Lakers are mathematically, they're not eliminated yet. Now they've got some ground to make up if they do, but I mean, San Antonio, they've got some ground to make up. Let's just put it that way.
Absolutely.
But they're playing very, very well. We've talked about it over and over. They're one of the better teams in the NBA since the beginning of 2018. I would not be surprised if they do come within three games of that eighth seed with this core. And by the way, the Clippers are like merely percentage points, like 0.002 percentage points ahead of
Utah. Yeah, for that I was saying they were all tied because you see the four of them, they're all 16 games back at first, but I didn't even look at the win-loss comp. So
yeah, so I mean, yeah, think about it. If they really, really, really want to, they could try to make a push. I bet you there's been some conversation in that locker room for about it.
Yep.
Because, I mean, if the Lakers go, they make the push, they could say, we made the push, but, like, who cares? they don't, and I don't mean that, like, in a bad way. What I mean is, like, you're sitting there thinking, like, they've already given up they're giving up their draft pick already. Like, they don't have to worry about it. They got nothing to lose. That's what I've been trying to say, and I've been saying that for a while. That's why I don't mind actually playing the Lakers right now. They're not trying to actively tank to better their position. Like, this time last year, they had a top three protected pick, so they were trying to keep it as much as possible to get Lonzo Ball.
Right.
What?
What?
Mitch, what are you talking about?
What happened? Anyone? Bueller?
Sorry.
All right. So we got our down pat guys there at the top for the center position. Now, somebody wants to go a little lower and get crazy. Where are they going? Can I mention my first friend?
If you say Jakob Poeltl.
Well, he's not my first friend, but it's also a guy that will be playing in New York tonight.
Nerlens Noel?
Yeah, baby. He's out of the Carlisle doghouse. He has finally made it out. Again, this is just a pretty good matchup. He's going to get those minutes. I do like the play of Noel more on DraftKings, where you don't have to sacrifice that center position. You can go with a Jokic if you'd like, and then go with a Noel as your utility guy or something like that. So
can I
like
just play Mike Muscala if Steven Adams is out?
Well, I don't think Adams affects him one way or the other since
Mike Muscala.
Yeah, since he comes off the bench, I don't think it really affects him that much.
Well, if he's going to play 22 minutes and Steven Adams is going to play 35, you would think that some of these minutes are going to be against Steven Adams.
Some. I mean, Muscala also plays some at the four if they throw Plumlee out there. You know, Plumlee's usually at the five and Muscala at the four. So, you know, whatever that situation is, again, I don't watch too much Atlanta Hawks basketball, but I do know that my boy Mikey Muscala has been crushing it for us here over the last few games. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, I like that matchup better with Steven Adams out. That's where I would think about it. I wouldn't think about it otherwise. I think that Mike Muscala, if Steven Adams is out, is probably, if I were to punt, this is where I would go.
Yeah, I was just looking at Plumlee's minutes here because I kind of said, oh, yeah, they've been throwing him at the five, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I mean, look, he's been playing last few games, 16, 18, 14, 25. You know, so if he's going to get run, Adams would probably be on him with Muscala, you know, dicking around with
Patrick Patterson or somebody like that on the second unit. So I'm not terribly worried, but yeah, I guess Muscala is at a better price there than Nerlens Noel, so I don't mind it. Now, this matchup is not as fruitful as it was against Indiana or Chicago, but again, Muscala is still getting the opportunity. We've liked him since, you know, however long ago, so it's just good to see him producing well consistently here over the last few games. Yeah. All right. Anybody else you got here? Oh, and by the way, Jakob Poeltl. Again, I think the Raptors are going to absolutely destroy the Nets tonight. So, by the way, and again, if Jared Allen's not in tonight, that's going to be up against, oh, Jesus, some combination of Mozgov, Jahlil Okafor, and probably, I don't know, Quincy Acey, Dante Cunningham. Good luck.
Yeah, I'm not touching the Brooklyn big men if Jared Allen's not playing. So.
Yep, indeed. All right, anybody else, or are we done with this bad boy?
We're done, and I'm gonna go puke over Donut's initial lineup that he just put out.
Uh-oh, I can't wait to see this. All right, well, if you like what you heard, you can hear it 24/7 at dfsarmy.com. Use the promo code podcast. You get 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, for me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.